Welcome to Simcha Even Though and Parshas Ki Tzetze. In this week's Parsha, we learn about the man who goes to war and sees a beautiful captive woman. There are a lot of halachos about what he may and may not do in this very specific situation. Parak Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'ra'isa Bashivya, and you will see in captivity, Eishes Yifas Toar, beautiful woman, V'chashakta Ba V'lakachta L'chala Isha, says the Ibn Ezra, on the words Yifas Toar, Be'enav, in his eyes, beautiful in his eyes, because sometimes, as in this case, beauty is subjective. I'd like to offer you a proof. If you had a tall, elegant, attractive teacher in elementary school, but she embarrassed you in front of the whole class almost every day, would you still see her as beautiful? What about a smooth-talking, clean-cut gentleman who tells his workers that they're incompetent all day long? Is he really going to look handsome to them? As much as people can be objectively beautiful, our thoughts about the matter are going to play a huge role. And here's a true story with only a couple tiny details changed to preserve the privacy of everyone involved. As a shadchan, I once referred someone to a shadchan I thought would help him. The man was quite upset after the meeting because the shadchan had told him there was something vitally wrong with his smile and that might be what's preventing him from finding his bashert. I totally disagreed. It wasn't true at all. And besides, even if he had a total of 3 teeth, I would never say such a thing. Fast forward a few months, I set him up with a nice woman, and after 1 or 2 dates, she decided it wasn't for her. No problem, I never force these things. I just have a policy that the one saying no has to tell me one nice thing together with the no that I can relate to the other side. So she thinks for a moment and says, of all things, that he has a really nice smile. Be'enav and be'eneha. Here's another gem. It says in Pasuk Yud Gimel that the soldier must bring this woman to his home for a minimum of Yerach Yomim. It means a month, which we determine by the waxing and waning of the moon. It says the Baal HaTorah on the words Yerach Yomim, V'lo Amar Chodesh, the Torah doesn't use the regular word for month, which is Chodesh. Lomar Lach, to tell you, Ma Hayareach Oro Pogum Keneged Or HaShemesh, just like the moon's light is defective compared to the light of the sun, Avgoya meusahi keneged bas Yisrael. So too, a Gentile woman is repulsive compared to a bas Yisrael. And the man is going to hopefully realize this after following all of the Torah guidelines during this month. Often the man ended up strongly disliking the Isha Yifas Toar, which the Torah warns might happen. If the husband still wants to marry her, even after the 30-day ugliness makeover, he can convert her and keep her as his Torah-permitted wife. What's next in the Parsha? The famous Ben Sorer Umora, the extremely rebellious son, says the Or HaChaim, if the parents let their son do whatever he feels like doing, Ze Yisovev Shegam Bahem Yimrod, this will cause him to rebel not only against Hashem, but against his own parents. And why are there so many unusual and unlikely conditions that must be met in order for such a case to actually exist? Because, as the Mefarshim teach us, Hashem is not looking to punish, but to instill a Yiras Shemayim that would prevent this situation from even getting close to that. With an onish of Misa looming, people tend to be quite careful. Here's another true story with, again, a few tiny details changed for privacy reasons. A young woman went off the derech in a serious way. No Shabbos, no Kashrus, no anything. But one mitzvah she decided to keep really well. One day she goes mountain climbing and takes a massive fall, Rechon Alassan. She loses a lot of blood, breaks a lot of bones, and in the midst of the whole mess that was once a perfectly healthy, intact body, one area remains untouched, as if protected by some invisible casing around it. It was completely clear that Hashem took note of that one mitzvah and left that area safe and untouched. Another mitzvah in this week's Parsha, in Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Dalet, is if you see that your brother's donkey or ox is falling under its heavy load, meaning it's like buckling and parcels have fallen to the ground, hakim tukim, steady the animal and help load the bundles back onto the animal, emo, with him. Rashi explains that if the owner is basically standing there with his arms folded, while you schwitz away with his packages, saying, it's your mitzvah, sir, putter, you're exempt, you don't have to put up with that. Emo means with him. He's got to be working with you, alongside you. The Torah instructs us to be kind and considerate people, but wait a minute, the other guy's a Torah Jew too, and he's not allowed to just stand there while someone else does all the work. What a perfect Torah we have, which instructs us on how to be kind without getting taken advantage of. No other religious Bible, Lahavdil, is as perfectly balanced or even close. Whatever does make sense in anyone else's Bible was plagiarized from our Torah anyway, right? Now, no one listening to this year believes in the New Testament, Chas v'Shalom, but even when a wise quote is attributed to Confucius, Socrates, a Chinese proverb, or Anonymous, remember, our Torah is the original, everything else is just a copy. Now, the next Chiddush is just beyond. The Ora Chaim compares this scene of going to study someone's falling animal to helping a person who is collapsing spiritually. As a fellow Yid, you want to be makar of him. You have the best intentions, and if the person wants to do tshuva, great, it's you and him working together. Continues the Ora Chaim, aval, im hu nofel ve'eino chafitz ba'hakamascha, but if he's falling and he doesn't want you to set him right, patarata, you're exempt, because if you push him, he'll end up hating you. With noflim ba'derech, which the Ora Chaim interprets as people falling, the more you push, the more you push away. Kiruv can't be forced. And if the Torah tells you patarata, which is how the Ora Chaim explains this pasuk, that means you are exempt from trying to fix him, and you may detach without guilt. Of course, you're always allowed to daven for anyone who has lost his or her way. We should daven. It's the solution most likely to work. The Torah is not telling you don't love him or don't care about him. But if you tried and you're not getting through, don't use a battering ram to knock sense into the person. It's not effective, to say the least. Anyway, here's a really great story about soft kiruv that worked. It was Shabbos afternoon in Yerushalayim. The cars kept passing by one after another. There were alternate routes. The drivers didn't have to take this particular road, and some of the neighbors started reacting to the provocation, the Chilul Shabbos and their peaceful, quiet community. A few guys started throwing stones, but one man turns to his friend and says, "This is not the way. Next car that passes by, you memorize one half of the license plate, I'll memorize the other half." So they do exactly that. And after Shabbos, they reach out to the police. I'm guessing in those days, contact info could be looked up this way. They're given the guy's address and they pay the family a visit, speaking gently and kindly the entire time. At the end of the visit, the driver, who had been Michal Shabbos, says to them, "Listen, I don't know what I'm going to do next week yet, but I like your style. Thank you for taking the time to explain your point of view to me in such a respectful way." The men exchange phone numbers. A few days later, one of the Avreichim gets a phone call from this man. "Tishma, my son's bar mitzvah is coming up. I don't know the first thing about getting him to tefillin. Can you help me?" The next phone call was about another important matter. And this continued, not just for a few days or a couple weeks, but for months and years, because one Yid and his friend understood that forcing kiruv was not the way to go. An entire secular family ended up becoming completely frum. And who knows how many future generations came from this one seemingly small act. Now, how does our theme of Simcha, even though, connect to Parshas Ki Tse? Easy. This Parsha is jam-packed with the most fascinating, life-changing insights. In fact, this shiur started off double the length. I just pared it down for clarity. You know, if you try to say too many points, then no one remembers anything. Lulei Sarascha Sha'ashuai Azavadeti Ba'ani. It's my little mystery pasuk there. Have a bracha-filled week and a restful, rejuvenating Shabbos ahead.